growing in grace does not mean getting something new. It means understanding something old.
Dr. Tony Evans says grace is the only environment where healthy spiritual growth can happen.
You say, how much grace is out there? As much grace as there is air for you to breathe.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The most important thing we need to grow spiritually is something we absolutely can't get. It has to be given to us. That thing is grace. Let's join Dr. Evans as he tells us more about it.
To grow in grace is to grow in your understanding and experience of all that God has provided you in your new birth. Growing in grace does not mean getting something new. It means understanding something old. That there is nothing new that you can add to your salvation. Just like there's nothing new that you can add to a baby's birth. The baby has what the baby has. All you're doing is facilitating growth, not adding something new. Many Christians find themselves experiencing stunted growth and not mature. They are discovering that something is wrong. They feel handicapped. They don't feel like or seem to be growing, and to a large degree, that is true because they've lost sight of grace. My purpose today, as we continue our series on spiritual growth, is simply to help you to understand grace. The most unique word in history, because it is the distinguishing word of the faith. But it's a foreign environment. It's a different language. The customs of grace operate antithetical to what's normative. And so grace takes some getting used to. What do we mean by grace? This concept that is the subject of our discussion today. Let me define it and then go into our passage. Grace is God's unmerited favor. In other words, you can't earn grace. You can't buy grace. You cannot demand grace. In order to have grace, it must be given to you. Grace is all that God is now free to do for you because of what Christ has done. Grace is God's freedom to express his love without interruption, because the thing that impedes that expression has been eternally dealt with: sin. Or a more elongated definition that I use in love is that grace is God's inexhaustible supply of goodness, whereby he does for us what we do not deserve, could not earn, and would never be able to repay. We're going to look at the greatest section in the Bible on grace, and then we're going to briefly look at the greatest verse in the Bible on grace. If you've read your New Testament, you know that Paul regularly opens up most of his books with "grace be unto you," along with peace. He says, "grace be multiplied unto you." He is the apostle of grace because he explains it. In chapter 2, we have the greatest section on grace, starting off with the backdrop. You need a backdrop. When you go look at a diamond, the jeweler takes out a dark piece of cloth and puts the diamond on it to give you a dark backdrop. He wants you to have a dark backdrop because the diamond will glitter more greatly against the dark backdrop. Paul begins with the dark backdrop against which grace is going to be displayed when he says that we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. In Ephesians 2:1, We formerly walked the course of this world, the prince of power of the air, part of the sons of disobedience, lust of the flesh, desires of the flesh and the mind. And then he sums it up and he says, and you were by nature children of wrath. He's talking to Christians here, and he says, in order to understand grace, let me tell you where you were. Because when you forget where you come from, it's easy to not appreciate where you are. See, a lot of us have forgotten where we come from. You ain't always dressed like this. You didn't always drive what you drive now. You didn't always live where you're living now. You didn't always have that much money in your pocket. But see, when you remember where you come from, then you appreciate where you are. What Paul wants you to know is where you come from. Given who God is, perfect in every detail, given who we are, sinful in every detail, in our unredeemed state, we are unacceptable. And no clever arrangement of bad eggs can make you a good omelet. But verse 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. When you were totally unacceptable to God and without any capacity to make yourself or myself acceptable to God, God took the initiative. But God, not but you, but God, God took the initiative to address our deadness or our separation from him. But God. What motivated God to act in this graveyard on our behalf? It says, because of the great love with which he loved us. Love precipitated grace. So in order to understand grace and to enjoy grace, you have to understand it's generated by love. The backdrop is ugly, but that makes grace more beautiful. Instead of reacting out of his wrath against us, he allowed Jesus Christ to bear that wrath so that could free him up, having judged our sin, to express his love. See, he couldn't just skip our sin. He had to judge our sin, so he himself became the substitute for our sin in order to free him up to share his grace. Look how magnificent this grace is, because it says in verse 5, he made us alive, and he didn't just give us new life. This is the new life sitting inside of your soul, the new nature. He gave it together with Christ so that we are, verse 6, seated with him in heavenly places. God has relocated you. As we said before, whatever happens to Christ happens to you, and you have been relocated. Now you say, how can I be in heavenly places when I'm living on earth? Well, in this age of technology, you know, you can be at a board meeting in Chicago while you're seated in Dallas because you're transported there through technology. God says that he has relocated you now so that you, because of his grace, are right now seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's where you are. Grace has not only made you alive, it's relocated you to another zone. Now, grace is risky business, because grace is always free. This is very critical. You cannot work for grace. Working for grace is like working for your birthday present. It's no longer a gift then. The Bible describes grace as a gift. It's given. You cannot earn it. You cannot pay for it. And to offer God chump change for grace is to insult him. It's like the man who was, the guy saved his life and he says, for saving my life, let me offer to mow your lawn. What kind of payment is that? Anything you try to do to pay for grace is insulting God. If you could pay for it, Jesus wouldn't have had to pay for it. You can't pay for it because grace is unmerited. It cannot be earned. Now, what does that have to do with your spiritual life? It has everything to do with your spiritual life because some people are trying to earn what God is only willing to give away. And to seek to do that, the Bible calls that falling from grace. That is, no longer operating on a grace orientation and a grace motivation. But that makes it risky because people can take advantage of grace. See, grace can be taken advantage of. Paul says in Romans 6:1, he says, shall we sin that grace may abound? Shall we take advantage of God's goodness? God forbid that we would do that. But we do, don't we? But even though grace is risky, because people can take advantage of it, you need to also know that grace is powerful because grace can transform. You see, when God saved you, he not only made you ready for heaven, he created an environment for you and me to be transformed on earth. And it's all by grace. Verse 7 says, in order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, did you see that? In the ages to come. You haven't got there yet. God has constructed this environment of grace so comprehensively that it is not only your environment now, it will be your environment in eternity. It'll be a grace operation. When you get to heaven, everything you get there will be given to you. And in the ages to come, that's a way of saying forever, there will be non-stop gifts. Let me tell you how much we're talking about here. In heaven, there is no night. In heaven, there is no sleep. Now, I know that's messing with you. But there is no night in heaven, and there is no sleep in heaven. It is 24-hour receiving. Think about that. Somebody giving you a gift every second of every day for the rest of your life. You know what that means? That means excitement for the rest of your life. Anticipation for the rest of your life. Joy for the rest of your life, because you never know what's coming next. You can't imagine all the stuff that God is going to be giving out in eternity as an expression of his grace, motivated by his love, and that started the point of your conversion.
Something else was guaranteed to us at that point in our lives, and Dr. Evans will tell us about it when he continues our message in just a moment. Today's lesson is part of Tony's popular series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. We'll hear most of these messages in the weeks ahead, but if you'd like to get the entire collection, including a lot of material we won't be able to present on the air, the complete 16-message set is available on CD as our special thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a donation of any amount. So visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Make your contribution and let us send you The Essentials of Spiritual Growth with our thanks. Don't put it off, though, because this limited-time offer won't be available for long. Again, that's tonyevans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. We'll get back to today's message right after this.
Come on, man. Be strong. Grow up. Be a provider. Man up. Society says that to boys all the time, but what does that mean? Often, grown men don't even know. This spring, Lifeway Films and Tony Evans tell you a story through the power of film and reveal the truth of biblical manhood. Kingdom Men Rising. featuring Kirk Franklin, Tony Dungy, Lecrae, Tim Brown, Tony Evans, Priscilla Shire, Troy Vincent, John Kitna, and more. Be the man God created you to be. Kingdom Men Rising. Great for men's groups, women's groups, families, churches, or individuals. Coming to theaters nationwide April 29th and 30th. Discover more at TonyEvans.org.
You know what's wonderful about Christianity? Let me tell you what's wonderful about Christianity that you can't get in any other religion. It's the only religion in the world that guarantees heaven up front. It's the only religion that guarantees heaven up front. Every other religion, you hope you're going to make it. Or you trying to make heaven your home. Or you wish that you're going to get there. Or you're waiting to see. Christianity guarantees it on the front end before you ever get going good. You understand? If he guaranteed that up front, that you don't have to say, I hope I'm going to heaven now. I think I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. No, no, no. Anybody who has come to faith alone in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life has got to go to heaven. Or God would have to disintegrate because he was a liar. What does that got to do with grace? He says in the ages to come, God wants to show his kindness. See, the goodness. He wants to show you how much he loves you. Look at my favorite verse on grace. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have extra and abundance for every good deed. That's why he says in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What's that gift? He says in verse 14, surpassing grace. This environment of grace has everything you need for all you're supposed to do for as long as you're supposed to do it. Now, what this means is there is no such thing as I can't make it. What this means is there's no such thing as I'm going to lose it. He says there is so much grace out there. You say, how much grace is out there? As much grace as there is air for you to breathe. How long you been breathing? How much oxygen have you manufactured so that you could breathe? You breathe because God gave the gift, grace, of oxygen. As long as you are alive, all you have to do is inhale because the gift of oxygen has been provided. But let me tell you, it's not only just got here when you got here. Ever since the first man hit planet Earth, nobody has run out of oxygen. There's enough grace to go around. How many fish have run out of water? For as long as there has been creation and there have been fish, there has been enough water for everybody to go swimming. How many animals have run out of foliage? As long as there have been animals, there have been enough green this and green that for everybody to make it. What God has done in nature, air, water, grass, he has done in the spiritual realm, it's just called grace. Finally, what is my responsibility in grace? If grace is God giving, but I'm expected to do something on it, what's my role? Look at what he says in Ephesians again. For by grace, verse 8, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is a gift, you can't earn it. Not as a result of works, that is, you can't earn it, that no one should boast, only God can get credit for it. You do not work to get grace, that cancels grace. But you respond to grace with works. God is not asking you to do spiritual calisthenics and exhaust yourself by, maybe if I'm good enough today, he'll give me some grace. That's like saying, if I'm good enough today, I'll earn my way to heaven. No, you don't get it to go to heaven, and you don't get it to experience grace down here. All you do is thank him for his grace and express it in grateful action. Now, what that does is take the weight off you. It takes the pressure off you. In In other words, grace is developed in relationship, not in performance. Grace is response of gratitude. Because you gave me a free gift of heaven, I want to get to know somebody who would give me that much gift. And in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, grace grows in intimacy. Christian religion is seeking to serve God by rules. True Christianity is seeking to serve Christ by gratitude. It is getting to know a person. When a child falls off a bike, you don't give them the 10 steps to heal your wound. I think the first thing you do is hug them. In other words, your first response is a relational one. Jesus Christ says, get to know me and you'll get to know grace, because I am grace. He's going to give you all he's got. He's going to give it to you in relationship. It's a whole different orientation. It's where you respond to the goodness of God as he gives it to you day by day.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to wrap up the program with an illustration of how God's grace can rain down on us. But first, if you'd like to get the complete full-length version of today's message, the title to ask about is Grace, the Environment of Spiritual Growth. But the best way to get it is to request Tony's two-volume series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering CDs of all 16 messages in this collection as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount. Contact us at tonyevans.org for the details. And be sure to take time to browse through some of our other resources, books, CDs, Bible studies, and more. You can even sign up for Tony's weekly email devotional and find out how you can read through the Bible with him on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. This week, we're turning our attention to 1 John chapter 3. That's tonyevans.org. Or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. A lot of people believe that spiritual growth is something we do by sheer willpower, or in some cases, won't power. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains that replacing our old nature with our new one isn't something we do alone. Right now, though, he's back with this final illustration.
We all have lawns. Most of us, we want to keep them growing, green, luscious growth. Well, you probably have three options. One, you can water it yourself. Get out there with the hose and water it. We'll call that human effort. You get out there and you spray the water. That's your human attempt to water it. Another way is to have a sprinkler system. Sprinkler system is timed. It comes on every so often. That you don't have to do as much work. Something else is doing the work for you in the sprinkler system. The only problem with the sprinkler system is you still got to pay for the water. So the sprinkler system is doing the work, but you picking up the tab because you got to pay for all the water you use. Water company not going to let you water your lawn for free. There is a third way. When it rains. Because when it rains, water is coming from heaven. Comprehensively taking care of your lawn, not missing any spots. And it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Some of us trying to grow by watering our own life, doing the best we can, grunting and groaning. Others of us are tired of that because we see that's not getting us anywhere. So we didn't come to church and hope that the church sprinkler system will do it for us. But we find out all the singing, all the preaching in the world can't do it. But some of us are standing under the clouds and are saying, rain on me, rain on me. Because we understand he has already picked up the tab and his rain will provide the growth. I just become the vehicle to access it. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.